It is the dawn of artificial intelligence and consciousness, and a dawn of a brand new after show. It is the original for Westworld. I'm JC, and we're going to break everything down, but before we do that, you should go. Leave. Can't you see? Head's empty. The devils are here! The devils are here! Buzzes in.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Just rock out a little bit now.
Feeling the vibe.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Dave Child, will you tell us the song that's playing?
Oh, this is Painted Black. This is Painted Black by the Rolling Stones. We heard in the show a different version of it, like a very orchestra version of it, but I love. Mm-hmm. It kind of snuck up on you. It was like, ooh, that's a Painted Black. I didn't even realize it.
You're soaking in the rock and roll and the big time Western and sci-fi. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's After Show for Westworld Season 1, Episode 1, The Original. I'm JC, and I'll be breaking it down today with my lovely co-host, starting with the lovely lady to my left.
Oh, thank you. Hey, guys, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane, and I'm trying to pull up the chat right now, so if you're watching with us, please feel free to chat, and we'll chat with you, and if you're watching later, leave comments down below.
And I'm Dave Child. I'll also be here and looking at chats and saying things and words into microphones.
And, of course, a quick shout-out to Joelle Monique, who could not make it in tonight. Seriously, she's our kind of our oracle. Because I know she saw these in advance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I really wanted her here so she could kind of laugh at us trying to, like, you know, guess and figure out where the show's going.
How far in advance did
press,
she see?
Some of the press got up to 4 episodes in advance.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
So I can't wait for her to come
she's
next
week.
She's
not allowed to do predictions then.
Yeah, she has to be quiet.
We miss you, girl. Hope to see you next week. So, of course, chat roll, chime in. Let us know what you think. Overall, thoughts on the original. Okay.
I was going to say, stop saying the original.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because there's an original movie called Westworld. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah?
So you can't say the original.
Well, it's the title of the episode.
Okay.
Do you think
then
that's,
maybe
they did
say
that on purpose?
Episode title, the original.
Right.
Okay.
That'd be
the
a
pilot.
Little, yes,
the
pilot.
Original.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. It was great. I was so happy. Because I was really, I don't know, I was nervous just because I all the trailers and all the commercials for it just looked really good. But I didn't know if that was just going to be the marketing for it. But mm-hmm. It ended up being exactly what I wanted it to be. And I think actually an improvement on the initial 1973 movie, which was just like we were talking about before. It's just Jurassic Park with robots. And now we're like diving into existential angst and really into the robots' minds. And I love that.
I thought it was excellent. Yeah, I've watched the original film. And so I was curious how like this would be in comparison, and I'm just really curious to see how they make a show out of it.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just like, it's not necessarily they just dragged out the initial concept. There'll be a lot more to it. So I'm just like, ooh, I'm intrigued. And just the visual quality of it and everything's really cool. I like how they've simplified it into one world. Before in the movie, it's 3 separate different, like, zones, and this is just one.
Well, it's too early to tell. Remember, this is the first episode, and they have
a possibility of it. They showed their giant map.
Okay. Right, but that could just
but
be
one
world.
But that could have other places.
Yeah.
That's true.
And Dave, you also talked about, started from the very top, just even the intro to the show itself. I mean, it's a throwback of little, with the score, with the music. It's Game of Thrones meets Carnival. I'm feeling all these vibes, and I was ready to spew out all these stats of, you know, this is how long it took to make, and this is how much it cost. But because I was scared, I didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Blown away,
mm-hmm.
absolutely blown away.
Even opening theme song was like gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm at the stage now where I'm like, okay, new HBO show. It's going to have an amazing opening short film that we can watch before each episode.
That
it's like, okay, it's just going to be the short film we watch before every episode.
Yes.
And this was great because it played off of modern technology, stuff about like 3D printing. We got to see...
Yeah,
like,
it's a good way to look at 3D printing. Exactly.
Yeah, like 3D printing a human body kind of coming out of nowhere.
You couldn't have really made this show like 5-10 years ago because 3D printing wasn't what it is now. Like now anybody could pretty much buy a 3D printer. Yes, they're not exactly cheap, but... we could go buy one if we wanted to.
Right.
You know, compared to before, they'd be like, a what printer?
Well, they've said it themselves. Even a series creator, Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, that it's the dawn of AI, of our experience. Right. This is very topical. That is why I was intrigued by the whole series. I'm such a slut for when it comes to AI and
You're a slut for the singularity.
I am a slut for the singularity.
Did you guys? Someone in the chat said they got the Truman Show vibe.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And having Ed Harris there actually helps too. But and now he's in the show rather than like controlling the show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It had some great nods, and you saw some. You saw like even in the opening credit scene, we saw the player piano, a theme, and that we revisited throughout the course of the episode. The idea that it's the same song over and over again, robotic, starting from the beginning. And
a little
then
bit
has
of a Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And you also got to see Da Vinci's Man. You got to see, which is in all the posters and everything. Mm-hmm. But it brings up the idea and the theme that I think we're going to explore throughout the whole series of what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be a conscious person? And where does that come from? Like, do you get a soul if you have AI? And I think we're going to explore that in the show.
Agreed. There was a part during the episode, which we'll touch upon later, that I started questioning, why am I cheering for this?
Mm. Cheering for?
It was the shootout. It was when were celebrating when they shot Escanton.
The bandito kind of guy.
Yes.
Hector guy, that guy?
Hector Escanton. How they celebrated on the... You know, this is... I know it's just a robot, a host.
Right.
But the celebration of it...
But he's also a bad guy and murdered a lot of people.
There is no good nor bad, but just thinking about it is.
Yeah.
Within the context of the game. So that's what... I think we're just going to get so confused along the way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And one thing is, I was rewatching the original Westworld today, and I realized... I felt uncomfortable cheering for the main characters in that, because the main characters in the original Westworld are two guys that visit the Westworld thing. You know they have a lot of money because they're spending $1,000 a day to be there.
And that's in the 70s.
That's 70s.
Let's do inflation $1,000. On that. Yeah, you'd be like,
So that's probably like $3,000, $4,000 today, something like that.
Well, it was $1,000 a day.
In the 70s.
In the 70s. And on this incarnation of the show, it's 40,000 a day.
40,000 a day?
Oh, it said that?
I went to the website, discoverwestworld.com, and you can go through the series of questions. I actually tweeted about it, and it showed my trip. I chose a four-week stay. I played.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it ended up costing me $2.3 million for a month at Westworld.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's interesting about this, and I think we're going to see this more in future episodes, and we're going to meet more of the guests and the people that come and stay there, but I like that the people we have the most empathy for so far are the robots, or the hosts, and the people who make the game.
Yes.
They're not the people that come and stay there, because those are the super rich and the super like posh, and some what appears to be the super evil.
Yep.
Especially with the Man in Black character, the Ed Harris's character.
Yeah, well, because it's a world where you're, like, allowed to do whatever you want. You'll never get hurt, supposedly. And, you know, you're never punished, really. And something interesting, this one we were talking about from the movie to this one, is not necessarily how much they were like, everything's going to be fine. Right. Everything's fine. They didn't quite do that. It was more initially, immediately, there's a problem. Like constantly going on, which was kind of cool because it's realistic with any sort of technology. There's always going to be some sort of bugs. So they're already like at the as soon as we see the control room kind of people, they're like, "Nah, you got to fix that problem."
I love how the translation into this future tech is so easy for us to understand because we know what it means. We're carrying around these robots in our pockets.
Right? Yeah.
So we know what it means when there's a new update and that update has a lot of bugs and it causes a lot of problems.
Yes.
And that's exactly what's happening in this world. They're just updating all of the computers, all the hosts, and it's causing a problem. And we don't know what it is, but we feel like it might be enhanced AI.
Did anybody get a doll? We were talking about this before, dollhouse vibe?
A little bit,
because it's the previous memories, the previous versions, and you remembering them, and you are a plaything pre-programmed for people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very similar.
So you wonder the ramification that's going to cost her, because that's I did not see Dollhouse, but I keep hearing people mention Dollhouse with this.
Right.
So it's gonna be. So let's dive in. Let's start out with
do it.
Dolores Abernathy and Bernard Lowe's opening interview. We start with, overall, your thoughts about Dolores, Evan Rachel Wood's portrayal. We saw her on True Blood, back on another HBO property. I was taken aback. I kept seeing her as a vampire, and now I see her as this. I thought she nailed it.
She's a robot. She's not a vampire this time. She's a robot.
No, I thought she was great. She's very easily likable kind of character that you're like, okay, she's the sweet young lady in the West, but, you know, she kind of can take care of herself a little bit.
Yeah.
She rides into town on her own on her horse, not side saddle, which I thought that was interesting, with her giant dress. So we were like, well, this show's like... This West is more like romanticized Wild West, because there are certain things that we're talking about, right, depending on where it is in Wild West, there were people of color that you'd be like, depending right. where it is, they might be like, oh, well, that's different.
Yeah, it's Disney World. It yes. is like a Disney World vibe where it's the best of, they're kind of, you know, because there's the guy you walk into town and he goes, you might be perfect for this one mission.
Aww.
Why don't you come and join me? Mm-hmm. And that's his job, to kind of lure the people visiting in. And I love when we meet Teddy, who yeah. comes yes, out of the...
that was great, Luke.
Yeah, he comes out of the train. We think he's one of the guests.
Yes!
Yes.
We think he's like, okay, he's going... And we don't know the rules of the world yet. So yeah. We know that Dolores is a robot. I feel like we know that.
Mm-hmm.
And we... going into it. So we feel like Teddy is going to go meet Dolores, and he's just revisiting Dolores, and she remembers him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, you're back. You've been away. Mm-hmm. You must have gone away because you were out in the real yeah. world, and now you're back. And we don't know the rules yet.
Yes.
So that's a great twist when all of a sudden the man in black shows up, because he's also wearing the outfit that Yul Brynner mm-hmm. like wears absolutely. In the original Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
So we think he's going to be the bad guy robot the entire time. And then he turns out to be one of the guests.
Mm-hmm. Right, within 15 minutes, I was already confused. I was like, wait, I thought Teddy was going to be, like you said, a human, and Ed Harris, I mean, Man in Black is...
I want to know how the guns work. Sorry. I'm just thinking. Because like when they shoot at our Man in Black, there are... effects such that it goes off. Mm-hmm. So it's not that the gun cannot fire, because that was something that was interesting with the film, is that mm-hmm. if you were pointed at a living being, the gun would not fire. So in the movie, though, I mean, in the show, though, stuff...
The gun like, fires, it just doesn't actually... My guess is
but it
that...
hits off his shirt, and it's almost like it's rubber bullets to you.
Maybe.
Just a ball of air, like just a charge
but wait.
Of air.
If they shoot at each other, like if you and I were both robots and we shot at each other,
mm-hmm.
it'd almost be like a sensor that goes off that has your squid ready.
Yes, exactly. That's and what then, I think it might yeah. be. What I'm curious is if they shoot a glass bottle, does the glass bottle break? Is that like do the bullets work?
It might
work?
Be programmed, like you
yeah.
know.
Do the bullets work on inanimate objects?
We don't know. Yet,
I didn't quite notice.
Maybe it's just measuring the biology, the biometric feed of a human.
Right.
And that's what disables any type of shots coming out of the
robot's
gun.
But it still hit
gun.
Him. There were things that, there were like puffs going off.
Right.
Like yeah. more like his edges, not necessarily his torso. But I was like, no, he's still being hit.
Right.
But it's not hurting him. It's more like a, like someone flicking him.
Yeah,
like when
like
he gets shot back, he's like, oh man, you hit me again.
Yeah, it's like you're shooting Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Rather than yeah.
They're like, oh, little BB guns.
And what was fascinating, it's not his first rodeo. Ed Harris is 30 years here visiting the park.
Right, 30 yes. years.
So he's playing, because actually when you go on the site, I encourage everyone that's watching, you guys go to discoverwestworld.com because you can pick tiers. And there's, let's say, William, who shows up later next week,
mm-hmm.
he's new to the game. But mm-hmm. then there's a third level for the expert level. And mm-hmm. you could tell that Ed Harris's character, he's at the expert level of his journey in Westworld.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because his, and we could talk about his journey right now, because he seems to be looking for something.
Right.
That's like almost, maybe it's just because I'm in the middle of reading Ready Player One right now, but I feel like he's looking for an Easter egg in the game, or...
Is he trying to find the control room?
Yeah, I was wondering if he's trying to, like, hack into the game. Or he's trying to create his own world
mm-hmm. yeah.
by hacking into the game and trying to find this main hub of something.
And why in the world would that character have a map on the bottom of his
scalp?
His scalp. You yeah. know, it's like, why right. would the programmers put that there?
That makes me think it's like
an Easter egg. Yeah.
I think it's an Easter egg. And I think it's an Easter egg that they're trying to find that... I think
that means
Ford
they would,
put in.
Yeah, so right? then they would be ready for it.
Yeah.
In a way.
He's kind of like...
Maybe,
oh, sorry.
Well, I'm just wondering if, like, Ford is all there. That's, like, a big question I have.
That's a good question.
With the actual show. Because he seems like he's teetering on the edge of actually caring for these robots and being distanced from them, too.
Yeah, what's his ultimate goal? What are the fans saying?
We have a couple comments on the guns. Aren't the AI guns motion censored? The guns fire, but doesn't affect customers. But if they point it at other AIs, they're programmed to kill the other ones. So,
right.
Yeah. But yeah. Then it's almost like they have squids ready because they bleed. Yeah. So it's like anywhere on the body, just be ready to go.
Yeah.
And then someone said, it's not at all clear if this is a sequel to the 1973 film. The 1973 film was in the near future, so 30 years later could work.
That is true. When they did say that it was created 30 years ago, I did wonder if we're actually talking about the original Westworld.
But then they would have to have like a Jurassic Park thing of like, well, it failed one time and we're redoing it. Because right. If, spoiler alert, in the movie it doesn't go so well.
But she did, Teresa Cullen's character said, you know, it's been 30 years since it happened and we're due for another one.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. But since like something they call critical error, something like that in the update. But also, remember, we do meet one of the first or second generation robots. That's how we meet Ford.
Mm-hmm.
He's down talking.
He's talking to the guy that's like, definitely like who's old moving like Disney.
Pirates of the Caribbean type of guy. And so I feel like that kind of showed maybe what originally Westworld was like, which they move, they still walk around, but they're moving kind of jerky.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because he's an old robot.
I mean, maybe they'll elaborate more as the show goes on. Because it's like, it's not like they can pretend that the other movie didn't exist. It's more like, here, we're expanding on it.
Yeah, slightly to reimagining. And we've got, what, five seasons they're planning on this already, at least? Five or six? We got a fan saying something?
Yeah, we got something really interesting I hadn't thought of. They're very unclear about the outside world. We don't know the date, what the world outside is like. They've cured disease, but are there still armies and war? Is humanity still based on Earth, even? Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like it.
No, I wondered that myself, because if the problem, let's forecast that the AI becomes self-aware, which they are, and ends up being a whole war. Outside of Westworld, I mean, someone could come in and just level it, I would imagine.
Right. I'm also wondering what distinguishes these robots from humans. Because in the original movie, they didn't have fingerprints. They had very smooth hands.
Right.
So I'm curious if we have that in this case. Because they can... I'm wondering what's keeping a robot if they gain AI from getting on the next plane out of there.
They had the eyes, too. Like, their eyes had a glossy... Though her father had a weird bit to him. And I noticed more on the first prostitute that was trying to talk to him that their skin has a really glossy shine. Barbie doll shine. Mm-hmm. So that might be, like, their subtle indicator.
And flies. Because
she says, like, there's no rind on you.
Right, and also there's the flies that keep landing on them, and they don't hurt flies.
Because that's their first imperative, right?
Yeah, which is like not to hurt any living creature.
We had some other people saying like, they didn't have title cards to let you know when it is, which is kind of cool. Right, which is always kind of a safe way to go with some sci-fi, because if it's set in 2020, we're like, well, that's only a few years from now, so who cares?
It's 3 years from now, yeah. So bad Bill Murray aside, which would be the gunslinger, because pretty much he's like Bill Murray, but in a black hat.
What do you mean? Why Bill Murray?
Because he's done it so many times. Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
Oh, he's been trying all the different options? No. Yeah,
he's done it
He's got the high score in the game.
Yeah. Yes.
This is one thing I realized from watching in the show, and it feels different than the original Westworld movie because we live in a Grand Theft Auto world and also Red Dead Redemption, where this world where we see all these characters... We were used to games where people are free roaming and there's tons of storylines happening at the same time.
Yes.
And it feels like that type of game, except you're living
I think
it.
Red Dead is a perfect comparison because then that's a Western too. And then you can play good or bad.
Right.
Right. Like when the guy, one of my favorite bits of dialogue was in the train and they're talking about showing up and one guy was like, yeah, last time I came with my family, we went fishing.
Yes,
it was
fun.
Yeah,
PC one. Yeah,
and then he's like, "Next time I came, it just went full on evil."
Yeah,
that sounds like a gamer. That sounds like something you do in a game.
But then I think what they're even saying beyond that is the consequences underneath it with his family because he went full evil. He didn't even bring the family. So imagine the things that he's doing there,
right? Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they want to create these hosts they want to make him even more lifelike. Even I believe it was one of the guys in their tech department, Lee Sizemore, was talking about, we don't want to make them more lifelike. I mean, do you want your husband banging a beautiful, you know, beautiful host? And where does the line go?
Mm-hmm. Right, and he actually thought they should take a step back.
Yeah,
and they shouldn't keep updating it, and shouldn't keep making them more lifelike.
Yeah. But that brings up another point. That's the other side of it. I think he's doing it more for shareholders. His point of view. He wants to be the heir apparent to Dr. Ford.
Well, he's also the writer.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
He's the writer of the group.
All those scenarios.
Yeah.
And sorry, rabbit trail on that, but were you guys surprised that they seem surprised that other options can happen? I'm like, okay, you have your set storylines of all your, like, kind of essentially NPC characters, mm-hmm. and the characters who do stuff. But having random people throws that all into chaos, because mm-hmm. you don't know what the regular people who attend are going to do.
Right, but
so they're like, oh my gosh, we're surprised things change. I'm like, but you don't know what people are going to do, and that could mess it up.
Yeah, I think what they say to kind of cover that kind of possible plot hole is they're talking about taking 200 characters out of the game would mess up 200 storylines.
Yeah, then that
so would, that would cause a lot woven. Of chaos. Yeah. Yeah. So, but they're used to people causing random choices.
Slight improv. Yeah,
yeah, yes. Throughout it, and being like a bit yes and with everything that is introduced to them. But just taking them out of the game, it makes it so they don't have all the pieces to connect.
Yeah.
Because they're always going to loop back to something. So, I love that he was so proud of going back to that writer guy. Mm-hmm. He was so proud of, like, the speech he had ready.
Yeah.
He's like, I made it so much more chilling.
But it's then gonna be... that was a perfect example. A guy showed up and shot him.
Yeah. So he doesn't get to, you don't even get to see it.
No.
Yeah, and that had, because there were so many gotcha moments for me. Not gotcha, but just, I my jaw dropped. When we were watching it together, when Maeve blew away the guy's face from Sin.
Oh, yeah.
So HBO was not short of... Well, we were having
a lot of nudity.
Flaccid penis count.
Yes.
I said over under 5.
A lot of butts,
5.
Too. Or butts and chairs.
Butts
at least
and chairs.
Equal opportunity. We saw men and women naked.
Got to get those butts and chairs.
That's right.
The whole point of the show.
Yeah.
You know, so what else did I... I actually loved Peter Abernathy, which was Dolores' father.
Mm. Yeah.
To me, once he found the picture, that's when he was already having some, you know, I guess not reveries per se, but right, leftover memories. But finding that picture was Pandora's box,
right?
And that's where I think that's where the mystery unfolds, and mm-hmm. and we start, you know, Dolores starts coupling when the young family tells her she's not real, and everything starts, you know, just she's still fighting it, but deep down inside. Because she's the oldest host.
Yeah, that was a great new twist and information we get right at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
and
I'm glad that she's the oldest one.
Yeah, that she's the oldest one there. Mm-hmm. And so she's lived so many more lives than mm-hmm. anyone else there. And the fact that those lives are like burping back up into people
right.
yeah.
was a reveal and a great way to take the show. That makes me... I can't wait to see what happens when people break down and all this mm-hmm. stuff kind of bubbles mm-hmm. out. Also, and he was great because I thought he was going to be such a supporting character. And then he ended up being the one really breaking down and staring at, and we see that photo, which is the only hint of what the outside world is like. And he's just staring at it. And he stares at it all night long and totally breaks the cycle.
Probably just blows his mind because it doesn't process. Right. It doesn't make sense. Like, if we time traveled and showed somebody in the past something in the future, they don't... Well, kind of like Dolores' response. It doesn't mean anything to her.
You know, and speaking of, you know, because he did get decommissioned at the end of the episode.
Right.
And
he looked like he was going to cry.
You noticed that as well.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I thought maybe I'm reading too much into this. Cold storage is down.
Yeah, and also...
I think they should get on that. All those people were melting of, like, there was different level of frozenness of holding them in place in a way, and I feel this is going to be a really bad idea if cold storage is
That's an
not...
army of people.
Right. Yes.
Army of naked, flaccid
penis. And why
keep
them if they really don't care for them anymore? I don't know why they don't just destroy the model.
Well, I think the idea is they want to possibly recycle it later. Like
if they,
maybe they
no,
can
no, they had a couple they like deemed bad.
Right.
Why bother? I like someone in the chat's kind of like, why? I don't see the point of HBO including nudity in their stuff. It's 2016 and the internet exists. But it's part of the plot in this.
Yeah, I think it's to dehumanize them in a way.
Well, in this, it totally makes sense. Because, yeah. Yes, it's dehumanizing. They're like walking dolls, so it doesn't. They don't care. And it is. They shouldn't care. They don't have that. When they're in autopilot mode, they shouldn't be like, oh no, I'm naked.
You know? And that's kind of an Adam and Eve thing, too. Yeah. It makes them like super innocent because they're not modest about how they look.
Yeah, like when she's doing the interview, she's not like...
Yeah, she's not covering herself up. Or she's not even moving. Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Great job on acting, too. There's a lot of people having to switch in between modes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then how some of their own physicality probably had to be the jerky motions. And probably a mix of, you know, editing and camera stuff, but still.
Losing the accent, you know.
Yeah,
you
turn it off. Okay. Yeah.
On the dime.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we're going to see a lot of different characters go through different personalities. We're going to have kind of a Orphan Black with a lot of people in this show, which I'm excited for.
You know who interested me quite a bit, and we didn't see a lot of her tonight, but she made her entrance? Maeve.
And which one?
Maeve is the madam. She's the
madam. Oh, yeah. No, she's great. I like her. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pay for love. And she's like, we have our only difference is we have our price posted on the door.
For some reason, she seems like an older host to me. And it's way too early, I'm sure.
Maybe.
Where's the Oracle? She's going to shoot us down next week. Joelle's going to be like, no, you're wrong. But just something about her. There's meat. And we'll get to that in the predictions and previews up and coming. You were going to say something, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is more for predictions, but I also want to talk about the use of music throughout this whole. I
loved it.
It was so good because we talked a little bit about how Paint It Black came in, but also Black Hole Sun.
Yes.
Was playing Black Hole Sun and kind of snuck up on me. And I was thinking about, I was trying to see what else kind of came throughout the show that is maybe an homage to something else. And one thing I noticed that I was pretty excited about was I'm a big fan of the movie The Searchers.
Mm-hmm.
And it one of the first opening shots we get of Dolores when she's opening up the door looked like the opening shot to The Searchers, which also is directed by Ford, who's also the name of the whole director of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I think there's Ford comparisons to John Ford and Robert Ford is the director. So I love little homages like that. I'm curious to see. There's probably some music stings I didn't even recognize. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think they did the music in terms of it's a world where we know that like the people who within the world of the show they know that song exists, and then they decided, hey, I like that song. Let's put it in the Western world. Or are they thinking it's a brand new material? Like, you know, in a zombie show, when they ignore the fact that there's tons of zombie movies, it just seems so unrealistic because it's like, oh, come on, we've seen a lot. So I wonder if with the music they go, you know what? I like that song. We should put that in there and do a piano version of it.
I think it's also to keep the audience in an uncanny valley.
Or is it separate like that?
Yeah, I think it's to keep them, because, I mean, Paint It Black, that wasn't heard by the people in the actual show, I don't think. Because Paint It Black was heard by the audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's... I think it's to keep the audience in that feeling of, so you're not feeling like it's a period piece.
Yeah.
Because it's not. It's a whole other world.
Yes.
Correct.
So, I also, why is Cold Storage, just to backtrack a little bit, why is Cold Storage like an abandoned mall? Did you guys notice that?
Now that you mentioned it.
That open circle in the center.
Yeah, there were like escalators and all this stuff. I guess that's what, maybe one tier of what the entrance used to be. And now it's Cold Storage. So is there a whole nother world that's kind of shut down?
Are we talking like Roman world or medieval world?
Or like maybe it's like Roman world or anything like that.
But are they making that encapsulated underground then?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's like levels of different worlds. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, but that's...
Because then that's a complete controlled environment in terms of not... Well, that's true. We do not exactly know if Westworld is within a bubble. Like, is there a ceiling? Like, you know, in Hunger Games, they got to the edge and there was an end, you know, so
it could
be like the
Truman Show where it's just all in
you
a bubble.
You get to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or it could be just on a whole nother planet for all we know. So I think we're going to find that next episode because it seems like we're going to follow a guest.
Dude, I was kind of surprised on this too when someone brought up the chat. I was wondering why the woman who worked for the programming division kissed the other host. And I was like, that was interesting.
Yeah, that was a Lacey Hughes' character. Well, I mean, Lacey
Hughes. Her character's really interesting, too.
Yeah, because she plays both. Yeah. She's in the control room, and she's also in the world itself.
I thought that was nice. She was in the world and was kind of, like, trying to help out.
Yeah.
Well, she was trying to shut everything down like a Disney cast member.
But she was being nice about it. Yeah. She wasn't like, okay, you need to turn off right now. She's like, it's all right, you know.
I think she's kind of also, there's a few characters that are kind of teetering that line of thinking of these robots as just toys and animatronics and thinking of them as people and reacting to them like they're people.
You know, because we did touch upon, let's say, Bernard Love, you know, the creator. You could see he has this true care for all his creations.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think he dehumanized an actual human. At one point.
Interesting.
Well, when he was talking about her, can I copy your eyebrow movements?
Yeah, he looked, and was like, I need to use those eyebrow movements. And it's like, dude, you're talking to a person.
Yeah.
You can't switch off.
I'm going to take your tick and put it in something else.
Yeah, that actually made me think, oh, is she a robot at some point? And then I was like, no, he's just talking to her like she is because he can't separate the two. He can't stop working.
And that's the beauty of it already. You're already questioning yourself on each character. And I think one of the bigger reveals are going to be there's going to be characters we think are human that are going to be hosts or robots and vice versa.
Even employees could be a possibility.
Yes.
Yeah, or Ford himself.
Yeah.
That's maybe one thing I'm considering.
And it could be one of those they don't know. And like that'd be the ultimate programming is that you don't know.
Yeah.
Anything else that stood out in the episode? I'm still dissecting because we saw it and then we're just like regurgitating all this.
It's hard to take you through beat by beat because it's just, for one thing, we relive moments all the time. I couldn't believe how beautiful the show was, especially watching, because I just watched the old Westworld and then I started watching that and I was like, why is a 2016 television show just worlds above?
Because it's an HBO show too. They got a little bit better budget and better camera. Well, like even the cinematography, like the just the scenic shots are so pretty.
I'm not a fan of Westerns. I wasn't until The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. However, when I watched this, I was in that first scene when the cinematography, I was like, I wanted to be a cowboy.
Westerns, they definitely highlight cinematography because it's just the grandness of the landscape.
Yeah, so I'm a new Western fan.
And one of the themes in Searchers that I think maybe why there was a few references to the Searchers is it's why we start off and end in a doorway is because the people of the West were on a threshold of being in between a modern civilized world and a wild, uncontrollable environment.
Well, the end, she was on the porch, but
that's why
the edge of her world.
But that's why the Searchers at least starts in a threshold either way, and I think that's kind of, I think we can lean into that theme for this show as well, because they're on a threshold of technology and being human and what it means to pass it. And in the original, they haven't mentioned the singularity because it seems like they keep talking about how they created all this AI, and they've created all these robots. Well, in the original movie, they were having a problem where they started to realize that robots were creating robots, and so they made
a point. They're like, "Yeah, we don't even know what they're made of," and you're like, "This seems like it's a bad idea."
Yeah, which is what the singularity is. Correct. It's when it goes past the point of human conception because it's a robot creating a robot, so we don't know what to expect anymore.
Mm-hmm. So we're seeing season two this.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's what's going to end up happening is like robots are going to start creating robots or affecting robots and it's AI is going to take over.
Did we briefly mentioned it, but we've had a lot of people talking about the fly at the end, which is a good way to end it because everybody's all chatting about it and what it means. And definitely a lot of people are like, it's going to be so many theories on this show. I liked the bug because, and it's, I feel she's evolving as a AI unit.
Well, we also see the fly was a running theme because
he was on her eye during the interview and didn't care.
Yeah, we see him on the eye. We see it on Teddy's character at one point. It seemed to be a distinguishing, that's a robot because they don't care that a fly is
Sheriff.
On
them.
Yeah.
And it also implies that they won't hurt a fly.
Yeah. That it's the expression, you wouldn't hurt a fly.
Yeah, you would literally not hurt a fly. So the fact it ends with her hurting a fly means she could hurt other people.
Correct.
Yeah. It could go down that path.
Her character, though, seems to be the... She'd be more, like, lawful good in terms of, like, she could do damage to someone only if it's outside of her view of what is right and wrong.
Right.
I don't think she'd be, like, chaotic evil or anything suddenly.
Well, we also don't see... I think she's magnitude. Or not magnitude. Multitude. She's multitude because we... I think there's a lot of personalities.
Yeah, that's true. We don't know what else she's done. We haven't met yet.
Because she's oldest, and the problem with this critical update... is it's bringing up past personalities. And her personalities are going to come out. So we're going to see everyone, and then eventually she might settle into one, which is what happens with Elijah Dushku's character in Dollhouse.
I was against the same thing if she turned checked into those other ones.
Yeah.
So then I'm rambling with the beauty of Evan Rachel Wood's role here, that she's going to be just multiple characters. I mean, many of them are, but I mean, just her, there could be a whole season that she's going to be someone else possibly, or a big arc.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to happen with a lot of the robot characters. They're just going to be switched off and play another character just because, like, we're moving. Yeah. That happened with the bartender. Because the bartender in the beginning, who's like an old-timey, I'm doing this because this is what a bartender does.
Okay. Yeah, he's and cleaning the glass.
He's cleaning the glass, but he's got that handlebar mustache. He becomes the dad at the end.
Yeah.
Because that's just what they have to fill that role, that more important role in the stories. I'm curious, and this is, I guess we're kind of in prediction mode already.
Yeah, do you want to zap predictions?
Let's do predictions.
Not all at once.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay. Yay.
She brings up something that I paid a lot of attention to, because she says it kind of casually, but it's one of those writer things that's like, oh, that's going to be important.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's talking about the cattle. To Teddy.
Yes.
Ooh, the leader won. Yes.
And how she said that that's the Judas cow.
Yes.
And that cow is able to lead the rest of the cows into slaughter.
Yeah.
Which is why it's important to have that leader cow, and she knows because she's been doing it for so long. So, which I didn't even realize. She said, I've been doing it for so long, so that's why. So, is she the Judas cow? Or is there going to be a Judas cow later?
Or is she alluding to Teddy possibly being that cow?
Is she the Judas cow, but leading a revolt?
Yeah,
not to the slaughter, but leading them to fight back.
Yeah, I feel like that's on the horizon because we're seeing all these like decommissioned bodies that just feel like
an
army.
There's so many. They're just hanging out.
Yeah, you have an army.
Yep. Ugh. Literally hanging out in more ways than one.
Hey.
And man, do I want to. I already want to see Ed Harris die.
I want
Ramsey Bolton. I feel like he's the Ramsey Bolton of the
group.
He's the I'm gonna want to hate him for a while.
Sure,
but he's introduced by raping a character.
Correct.
That we like.
Yeah, so it's like okay, he's a rapist. I want to see him dead.
I pay to have you struggle, and you're like
He's like I've been coming here for 30 years just to rape chicks, and I was like okay, all right, this guy's evil. Yeah. So. I want to see what he's looking for, but I feel like whatever he's doing is not for the benefit.
I hope he stays more in like peripheral, like we just get little glimpses of his storyline.
Right. Well, I think we're going to check into him every now and then.
I think I've only got one prediction after what you guys just said. I want Ed Harris here, but for some reason, I think Anthony Hopkins' character, Ford, could be out sooner than we could see.
I thought he could have died on the first episode.
Yeah. I think he's going to... why am I saying this so early?
If he's even alive.
Yes.
I think maybe the Easter egg that he's trying to find is that, like, the secret... Because he talks about what he's looking for. Like it's given by the creator, like it's given by a god, which is Ford. So if Ford is the one who put it in the game, couldn't he just talk to Ford? Why is he not just talking to Ford unless Ford is just another robot he created to keep the game going? And he's the creator of the whole thing has long been passed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
I thought he was the robot. Like when they went down there, like your things are acting up. And I felt that he was one of your toys, essentially.
But he's able to, like, I mean, that would be, how would he keep going unless he's actually a brain in a robot body? But I don't know.
I'm thinking Dr. Ford will die at the hands of the gunslinger.
The gunslinger, yeah, all right.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's his mission. His mission is to find that deeper level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In a way, if you're playing a video game, you want to beat the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his whole point is just to find one of the tunnels to go into,
then
to go into the control room? Because that doesn't make sense. I feel like he if he wanted to do that, he'll just follow a cast member and then try to just sneak into whatever little hidey hole, like, hole they come out of.
Yeah, they showed people come... Oh, I like that in this version, they come out and clean things up in costume.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because the other one, they all have, like, suits, and it'd be like, absolutely, you're obviously not supposed to be here. And at least in this version, they're like, no, no, we're part of the environment.
Because that's not very Disney. You don't see what's behind the mask and all the Disney stuff. This is just, like, scary Disney. It's fully involved scary Disney where Big Thunder Railroad just went crazy.
Yes.
And, ugh. Can't wait to meet that goat with the dynamite in his mouth.
Well, fans, send us your predictions. What do you guys think? What do you think is going to happen to the gunslinger, to Dolores? Is it all real? Are we just all a simulation? Let us know. Anything else to add, guys, before we get out of here?
I don't know. We talked about it a lot. I think
it's awesome, and I'm excited to see where it's going to go.
Yes. Yeah. All right, so with that said, get us out of here. Mr. Child, where can they find you?
You can find me at Mr. Dave Child on Twitter and Instagram and DaveChild.com.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And hopefully we'll have Joelle Monique in next week. And you can follow me at JC Rubio TV on Instagram, Twitter, and all across the board. So for Dave, Carrie, I'm JC. Have, what is it, a dream, a deep and dreamless slumber. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.